sticks. You know, rainy weather just gets me. One day is nice, but 2 days I start suffering. She can't do nothing. At least I don't. And this third day, I'm done the same. Except I got out and picked up sticks, and you know, I've been busy out there all day, but I was in a bad shape. Whew, still short of breath.
Have a piece of
Well, I know you can do.
You see down that lane, you can't get down that lane.
You don't want some candy. Eat it up.
The wettest.
Eat it up.
The wettest part of the place, you know, right for that.
He's
lane.
Got plenty of money. He can go place. Buy some more. He won't wrong his poor neighbors none, no. No, but won't that grass grow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But look what would happen to me if I put out fertilizer. I got a ton of that fertilizer out there.
What would happen?
It'd all be down in the swamp now, wouldn't it?
Mm-mm.
Now, if you didn't have any rain over there?
I had some rain, yes, sir.
You didn't keep up with it.
Mm-mm. I had too many other things to keep up with.
You was hiding under the bed.
Yeah.
I'm blame. That's what we were doing.
Yesterday morning, I was out in the cow pen in all that bad weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had an inch yesterday morning.
I don't know how much we had. I never did this at our yet. Gauge. Marvin's got one or two up, but I don't ever do fool with them.
I always look at them, but I don't do a thing about it.
Well, if it rains, we grumble, and if it don't rain, we grumble.
Well, let me tell you, my cows were even grumbling. It's getting dry back there. The grass didn't have any grass left.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd come up there at the back fence and look up this way and speak to me. Did yours do that?
Mm-hmm.
They got a way of speaking to me.
That's right. You wouldn't believe it, but yesterday, when the vet was out there, every cow in that field come up there to that gate and stood up and watched him. They weren't a sound out of one of them. They never made no sound or nothing. They just stood there and seen what was going on.
Just made a circle.
And they just come up to the gate and stood there and just looked.
Well, no wonder that cow feels nervous.
Oh, they never said a word in the world.
Yeah. Was that your little?
Mm-mm. No, it was another cow. No, I had to have him too.
Marvin said it was a
Charlotte? Mm-hmm. You told me, he said it was a Charlotte. And I put it in the blockhouse, you know. I wanted him to see it, and he come home, and I told him it was like Angus. He said it just couldn't be. I said, well, it was. He says, it ain't. I said, it is. And he went out there and he said, I'll be dogged if it ain't.
Mama?
He said that calf would weigh 100 pounds. It took all me and Ella could do to drag it out of the cow pen and put it in the block house.
Oh, and it just about got your cow.
She would have died if I hadn't had the vet out there because it couldn't turn around and come like it should have.
Oh, he had to help.
And it died. It was dead.
Yeah.
That is awful.
Well, you know that little cow I had that bred when she was about 9 months old? She had that calf. It was a huge calf. You know the one we watched. And she had it. I wish I had somebody been around to see that calf. See, that morning I was just knocking around, and I ought to have been around, you see, because I knew she was fresh. While I was gone, or maybe before I left, I don't know. Yeah, it was. First I noticed was a bunch of buzzards over there. So I went over there hooping and hollering, trying to scare the buzzards off, you know. Why, they didn't even more. No more scared.
You
reckon
they didn't kill it?
No, no one to peck on it. And they wasn't any more, they weren't scared of me. Of course, all I had was just, I just hollered at them.
Well, this gal got sick that evening. Marvin stayed home Wednesday to go into town to attend to some business. She got sick Wednesday, and I made him shut her up right there with a little one, you know. And I thought she was going to be all right because she'd had a calf before. And if what I should have done, but then I didn't know. I thought it was going to be a normal birth. And we sat up there about all night with her, Marvin, and get up and see about her, and she wasn't bad off. And she was the same thing when he left to go to work yesterday morning. But then I noticed her, and I noticed that she just didn't look right. And I called a vet, and he told me he'd be out there within the hour. Something happened, he broke down or something. And it was about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But if I'd known, you know, but you don't never know, you think everything's going to be all right.
Time he got there, she was laboring.
Oh, she'd labored all night.
Yeah.
She was in labor when I found her.
Yeah. Up.
She'd get up and lie down, get up and lie down.
Yeah.
But she was in hard labor when all night long.
Yeah. And you're just in that sleeping way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thought that it'd be a natural birth. We thought the calf would come all right because that wasn't her first calf.
You didn't even get up and go look.
Marvin did, but I didn't.
Yeah.
He'd get up and go look. He thought she was getting all right.
Well, he thought the shingles was going on all right.
Yeah. Did you have any sort of fits?
Just half.
What did you do, take the shingles off or put the shingles on over them?
Let me tell you, Miss Mary, I didn't have any choice. Mr. Eastman come up that morning, and he sort of looked up there, and he says, do you want to take them off, or do you just want to put these on over them? Well, I said, hellfire, Mr. Eastman. I don't want them old ratty shingles left up there. Well, he says, a lot of them around McIntosh is just cupping them up. And he didn't have any intention of taking them over.
Well, you know them last 2 minutes, was it? Did he take them all?
No!
Them last 2 minutes that, you know, fixed the eaves of my house, told me, he said, don't you never let nobody fool you and nail a shingle over another shingle. He said, "You, if you ever have to have it done, take them off. Because he said, it just won't work.
Yeah. Well, now that's how much choice I had. I could have got up there and started tearing them off, you know. I guess. I said, Mr. Eastman, maybe that deck is sort of rotted out in places. And he looked up under the roof there, and he would see the decking. And all. Well, he said, a little soft here, but I don't think it'll matter.
I think you ought to be a maintenance man. Our living would be
yes,
sure.
Sir. Yes, sir.
You ought to be a carpenter.
Let me tell you, Miss Mary, now you know when we was over there Sunday?
Was you over there Sunday?
On that Sunday afternoon. I come on Mr. Eastman.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know his wife, Ms. Eastman, she's sort of speaks out, don't she?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think she's mad at you, wouldn't you?
That's right.
But she's not. She comes from that part of the country up there, where that's the way people talk. When they talk to you like that, they like you. I didn't hear her talking to you. Face that, she was straightening you out.
I don't remember her.
She said, she looked down.
Oh, she was telling me what to do about my leg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know something? You know some people, who was it told me that? Oh, Dr. Hasten. Used to be between home and Gainesville. They think they just because they got a little bit of nursing, a little bit of schooling, and just like these old midwives, he said they didn't know a damn thing.
But well, she's a nurse of some sort.
Well, Dr. Gibney, I'm paying him to tell me what to do about my leg.
Yeah. Well, she didn't think much of it.
I know, but it's getting along fine. It's doing good.
What she tell you? She says, don't put any grease on that.
She told me not to put no ointment on it and not to put any Epsom salts, to put peroxide on it.
And burn it out.
Yeah.
Scald it out. Boil it out. Yeah. Well, she keeps Mr. Eastman straight.
I bet you she does.
She answers the telephone when you call for it.
Is that right?
So she knows where he is. I tell you, she's not too well right now. I think she's a little bit nervous. I mean, when people get a little nervous, isn't that a handsome fella? When people get a little nervous, they talk loud. But she's nice.
I am too, but I've used some mighty bad language here lately.
Well, you haven't got it all straightened out yet.
I reckon so, all but paying the bill.
You got it all reworked?
All I'm going to get them to do. I mean, I sure said some bad things to them.
Since I saw you?
Yes, sir. I called for Willis, and the fellow McCoy, he said his name was McCoy, and he answered the telephone. And man, I let him have it. And I was sitting there talking just as loud as I could, and somebody knocked at the door, and I said, well, let me go and see who that is at the door. And some young fellow was knocking at the door, and he had give out of gas. And he wanted to get some gas. And I asked him, did he hear that language in there? And he kind of laughed. I told him I was on scissor, but he said, I better not wait till your husband gets here. Says he might punch me in the nose. Thinking I'm a scissor buck, man.
Do that. You prayed he'd come up at the wrong time.
But he did. He waited. Marvin, I told him there was Marvin, and Marvin let him have some gas.
Well, Marvin was there.
Marvin had went over to the other place to get some hay. And I told him Marvin would be right back, and Marvin drove up.
Well, now you don't. Did you call Mr. Willis yourself?
I called for Mr. Willis, but Mr. Willis went down Boyles. He said his name was Boyles and answered the telephone.
Yeah. That was they came out and nailed up two boards?
That's been since then. That was... Oh, I believe Monday.
Oh, that was Monday. Yes. Yes. Oh, and I was out there with Mr. Eastman on Sunday, and you said on Monday they was coming out, and you were satisfied they were going to fix it.
Nailed up two boards and went back to Gainesville.
Well, let me tell you.
And then's when I got on the telephone, and I told them just what I wanted to tell them. And I don't know whether it done any good or not, but they got out there and finished up.
The next day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
what'd you tell them?
Total. He said that they'd get it straightened up. I said, yes, but when? I said, the end of time is coming, too. And I don't know what all I did tell him. I told him just how sorry they were.
Did you tell him that?
I did. And I'm going to tell him some more tomorrow when I go in to pay him. I'm going to ask him about fixing my floor.
Are you going to pay him before they fix the floor?
I'm going to tell him that I want him to reimburse enough to fix my kitchen, and if they don't do it, I'm going to write that letter. And one of the men said that I owed him $55 more than what the contract called for. I told him whenever I paid it, A.C. Adkins would tell me that I had it to do. And I just sure wasn't going to pay it.
Was that Monday?
Yeah, it was Monday.
He told you owed him
$55 more than what the contract called for, and I said, the hell with that. I don't owe you a damn thing. I let him have it.
Yeah. Well, maybe he wasn't used to that.
I told him, I said, I ain't made no contract with you no way. Your name ain't even signed to my contract.
All he was supposed to do was come out there and fix things. Did Mr. Dodge see that?
The roof?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's in. He ain't opened his mouth about it. He ain't commented one way or the other.
Well, I haven't seen Mr. God, and I don't know anyone who has, but somehow I have in my mind that he saw it and said it was about as poor a job as he'd ever seen.
Well, I haven't heard any comment.
Well, did I dream that?
You might have did.
They're going to have an Easter egg hunt tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. She's done told me all about it.
Oh, has she? What's she going to do?
Going to have everybody and their friends over there.
Who's everybody and their friends?
Well, she told me that she was looking for her two sisters. And she's looking for somebody else down where Orlando and the Boltonites and Boltonites' daughter and her kids, and I told her, I said, you ain't got a bit of sense. I wouldn't about to do that if I was her.
You mean the Boltonites?
Well, no, I wouldn't. She goes to work every Easter, Christmas, holiday, or any of them has a birthday, and she gives a great, no one of them ain't got nothing. Gives a great big blowout for them.
I was over there one night at a barbecue or something, one of his weenie roasts, and she had invited some people from Micanopy, and these people that built a house across from his listen. And figured me. And the people from Micanopy didn't come. They had a boy, big boy this size, age. And that was a blowout. They had cakes and pies.
Mm-hmm. Spend a whole week in the kitchen of cooking for them. I told her this morning, I said, you ain't got our best sense.
Well, we just, you know, somehow or other, them weenies over there taste better, and I don't particularly like weenies. But I like them. And all I did is just put them in, warm them, put them in a piece of roll line, put them on them. And then they had several things, and then other things, and you know what you do, you just can't quit eating. You finish and say, well, that's nice, I'm glad I got to come over here. First thing you know, you say, well, I ain't got anything else to do, I just eat another weenie. And first thing you know, you see, you're swelled up. You're miserable.
I'm going to get a barbecue when I get my house fixed.
Oh, I put it off so long.
Because I want my house fixed first. That's got to come first.
Yeah. Did the Boltonites ever have a party?
Not that I know of. Uh-uh.
Well, who has parties over there?
Nobody but Miss Dodd.
She's the only one?
That's all I know of. And she just invite the whole community all across the creek and Orlando and have them to come down there and she'll just work her head off. And then she'll be in the bed for 3 days or for a week or two. Sick from it. And then the one on the ever does anything at all for her.
Well, I'll tell you, she sure appreciates doing a little something for her. I mean, when I remember when she was down to Orlando that took all the children down there and put them in school. Once, twice, Grandma came by here and, you know, just sit down and eat with us. She never has forgot that. It just looked like we'd give a birthday party for them or something like that. And all we done just come over and sit down and eat. So, and they're good company out there.
Who's that stuff?
Yes,
sir.
Yes, I was up there.
They are. They're good people, but they're too good for their own good.
Yeah.
It just makes me mad to think that she'd just go to work and cook for them people around there, you know, that's right around there, and all they think about is a good time, and they never think about her or give her anything.
You know, that's where it is a lot of times. Somebody does like that, and people just begin to sort of expect them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't ever think that that turn comes.
Well, tell me one thing. How did the Easter egg hunt ever start?
Well, let me see. Ask Suzanne and these girls here. They know all about those things.
I got no idea. I just grew up and there was Peter Rabbit already there. Supposed to bring you an Easter basket and an egg.
Oh, how the Easter bunny comes from?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have Easter bunnies.
No.
We just have the eggs.
Well, what does the eggs represent?
That's me.
They didn't have Peter Rabbit, Easter bunny, they just had the egg.
We have chickens, Easter chickens.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's going at all.
Well, there wouldn't be any connection between hen eggs and a bunny. It happened to be a little chicken.
I had heard the best Easter sermon preached just in the day that I've ever heard.
On the radio?
Mm-hmm. Gene Keith. If I can get up time enough Sunday morning, I'm going to Easterize. Sermon in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Well, I don't exactly know, but you have to be there before sunrise.
Yeah. Well, you don't eat breakfast anyhow.
No, all I have to do is just get up and get ready and go.
Yeah.
You know, I never have been to sunrise service.
They say that's one of the nicest services.
Mm-hmm.
And Benita.
Well, Gene Keith sure preached a nice one.
Is he from Hawthorne?
No, he's in Gainesville.
What you said?
I heard somebody say he lived at McIntosh. I talked to Louise the other night.
I haven't heard a word from her since she married Whitey.
Well, she's bought her a house trailer on wheels. It sleeps four. And they go around from place to place to these big things and big kadoos. And she told me somewhere she was going pretty soon, and she wanted to know could Marvin and I go with her, and I told her no, I didn't think so.
Well, I had the wrong idea. I thought, well, sir, Louise is going to settle down now.
No, sir. Her daughter says she spends money just like it was water.
Going to those places.
So she spends it just religiously.
Well, let me tell you, if I could go to these places and have the good time she has, I'd go too. You went with her a time or two.
Oh, yeah, I've been with her lots of times.
Well, she has a good time, don't she?
She sure does. I'm going to try to get her to go with me to Jacksonville next Friday night, that week.
Yeah.
I want to go see Charlie Pride.
He's good.
He sure is.
Yeah, nothing wrong with his voice.
Grand Ole Opry, he's going to be at the Coliseum.
Is he going to be the only singer?
No. Charlie Pride and... I can't think of all of them. But you listen to your radio and you can...
They have it on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine she'd be in for that.
I imagine she will too. I'm gonna call her up next week and ask her if she wanna go.
Well, you know the thing about that is Louise knows so many people, she can have a Grand Ole Opry of her own. Right there in her own front room.
Mm-hmm.
If she wants to. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been over there.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go over there and get her to show you them pictures?
No. No, I kept trying to keep in touch with her, and she was doing so many things. She was down in Orlando investing money up here with the Grand Ole Opry. But at that time, you know, she had so many irons in the fire. I just wasn't important enough to get any of her time or attention. And since I told you, since she and Whitey got married, I figured they'd all settle down and wasn't any use. But they're not, you see. I was wrong about that. It's about time you'd seen them again.
Oh, do it?
You haven't seen them.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Well, maybe she'd show them to you and let me look at them.
Oh, the pictures? Oh, yeah, I've seen the pictures 2 or 3 times.
That's what I say, but it's time you're seeing them again.
See, she and Jean Keith and a bunch of them went to Jerusalem.
Yeah, they don't know anything about it.
They don't. And a whole bunch of them, you know, they got together and they went to Jerusalem. And they took, visited all the places, taking pictures. And she's got a movie. And she goes around places like if a church wants her to go and show them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why, she'll go show them. And Marvin and I went with her to several places and helped her put up her screen, you know, and show them.
And she doesn't charge to show it?
Do we?
She doesn't charge money?
No, she don't charge. And she visited all of the old places, you know, where Christ was. And all them places over there. It is real interesting.
And she talks about it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She lectures.
Yeah, she takes the Bible along with her and she reads the Bible, and then she goes ahead and shows her pictures and explains it to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's interesting.
Well, we don't hardly have enough around here to get her to bring her over here. We could keep in touch with her and find out where she's going to show them.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the same to do. It'd be nice to have some of those pictures. But I don't have any of the machines to show them. When did you see her last?
Who, Louise? I haven't seen Louise, and I don't know when, but I talked to her the other day.
Oh, you just talked to her?
Mm-hmm.
And she's got that little travel trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Big enough for four.
Uh-huh. She cooks and eats and sleeps and, you know, just they can travel and wherever they want to stop, they can stop.
Yeah.
Park it.
Well, you don't want one like that.
No, no, sir. I ain't even going to travel. Wouldn't do me no good to want something like that anyway. Them things cost us money.
Well, you know the people around the neighborhood all think you're pretty well healed.
Think what?
That's the impression I have seen.
They what?
They think you can just get about anything you want to and just write them out the money check for
them. Huh. They fools.
Well, Sears evidently thought that. And then there's Miss Townsend out there. She's got money.
Yeah, we're just going to get a little.
Well, they're going to get a little of it, but they won't get no more of it. And I told them so. I'm done with Sears Roebuck.
You can't cut them off. You can't cut them off. Because you see, you're not dealing with Sears Roebuck. You're just dealing with a bunch of hippies that happen to be on a roofing crew. Now, the rest of Sears may be just like it always been, you see. Now, I learned that in the Army. And if I couldn't get something in one office, I'd go to another. That's right. So you've really not been dealing with Sears. You've just been dealing with them long-haired fellas that come out there. And Willis.
I got it at Sears. It was in Sears.
They don't have any connection with Sears. They just use that equipment, that material out there.
Yeah, they do have that man in Willis has got a connection with Sears.
Yes. But he don't have any control over them boys, men.
Well, he ain't got no business sending them out there then.
I know he had.
If they haven't got any carpenters, they are not advertised.
Yes,
I don't tell people I can sit down and make them a nice dress, because I know I can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know Leroy's going to get married next, or the 7th. No, when is that? That's the day week, isn't it? Yep, he's getting married.
At the church.
Mm-hmm. At Sicker.
At Sicker.
Reddick.
At Reddick, yeah. Well, I'd love to go.
Well, just go ahead.
You going?
Yes, if nothing don't happen, I'm going. If I can get my white rag off of my leg.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to go to a wedding with a rag on your leg.
No.
And a walking stick. Why don't you just take a walking stick?
No, the best thing to do is get me a pair of crutches.
Everybody gonna say Miss Mary's done ain't so much, she's gotta use crutches.
He wouldn't come to see me get married.
I don't know how I missed out on all that. I didn't know you were married for 6 months afterwards. Where was I?
I reckon you was here.
Looks like I fell in the well, didn't it? Well, I tell you, it's hard to keep up. These old cows tie me down.
Well, I know it. I can't go anywhere on account of my cows and dogs. My dogs and my cows and my chickens.
You got some chickens now?
Sure, I've got some chickens. Oh gosh, I think six hens and a rooster.
Well, they don't, you know, have to have an old rooster, you know.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. You do. You need a rooster.
It just wouldn't look right.
You need a rooster to crow in the morning to let you know when it's time to get up.
Does he crow?
Yeah, sure they do.
They crow all day.
And crow for daylight. They crow at 12 o'clock and crow for daylight.
But you got, where is he staying?
Hmm? Where's the rooster stay? Out in the yard?
At night, I mean.
Oh, he goes to roost. Oh, goes on the roost.
On those little ladder you got? You don't let them go in the trailer and shut them up or anything like that.
In my cow trailer? You better bet I better not catch one of them in there.
That's for your dogs.
Nope, it ain't for the dogs anymore.
No.
Well, you might as well use it. It's just like the church. It sits empty so much of the time.
Well, I use it when I need to. But I didn't buy it for the chickens to roost on.
Be like that'd be a good place, huh?
It would. But it wouldn't be good for the trailer.
Those puppies don't chase the chickens?
Mm-hmm. No, they don't bother.
I thought a dog would chase the chicken if they didn't have somebody to whip.
They just eat every egg that they can find.
Oh no.
Yes, they do. The old hens lays under the house or in that little block house, and they go in and get the eggs and eat them. I don't care, though. I don't care how many eggs they eat. Marvin got his pants leg ripped open Sunday morning. He went up to patch, and they got a little beagle up there, and I was out there one day picking up stuff out of the pasture, you know, and burning it. And that dog come out there, and I told Julie, I said, Julie, that dog's going to bite me. Oh, he won't bite. I said, Julie, I know good and well he will bite. Oh, he won't do no such a thing. I told Marvin, Marvin said, oh, that thing wouldn't bite a hot biscuit. He went up there Sunday morning to borrow a rope. And he tore his britches legs wide open.
Got a hold of it and ripped it loose.
Ripped it wide open. Come back up there and he said, look at me what that dog does. I said, uh-huh. He won't bite. He said, just let me catch him away from there.
Yeah.
He said, it's going to be me and him.
Is that one of the little dogs that come up?
Yeah, that's one of the little dogs that come up and looked at the puppies when they were shut up in the trailer. Yeah.
They were trotting across the field out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what to do, just take an ocean?
Just come up there and just looked in there at the trailer, at the puppies, and turned around and went off. Next day I seen that the puppies had something out there in the backyard eating it, and I went out there and it was a deer leg about that long. And it was a front leg. And I know good and well them dogs scared it up there to them puppies. So, And a day or two, they had something like that just all working on it under that oak tree, and I went out there. And it was a colleague. And you know the cow that was down so long? And Marvin killed her. And he carried her off and buried her. Them confounded dogs went and dug that thing up, and they carried it up there to them puppies. And they kept, one morning I found the biggest old cooler hog up there lying on the walk in the front yard. And I know good and well them dogs carried it up there to the puppies.
You know, this calf, this last calf out here that died, I took that off back there in the woods and poured kerosene on it. And I thought that would keep the vomits and the buzzards off. But you know, in about a week's time, I just happened to be passing there. I looked over there, and the bones was bare. So something don't care whether there's kerosene on it or not. I've been doing that all this time.
What do you pour kerosene on?
To keep the vomits from eating
them. Why don't you let the vomits eat them?
Well, I just don't want them to get the habit.
They won't. They won't get the habit of coons and possums and things like that and buzzards. If I didn't bury him, well, I'd let the Elmo read him.
That's too much trouble to bury him. You mean, how deep did he dig it?
I don't know. I wasn't with him.
Well, you know, that dirt, it moves slow with a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And the shape my back's in.
You know we're not supposed to bury animals anyway.
You're not?
Mm. This thing's on the land to keep the land clean, like the buzzards and things. They're supposed to eat up the filth.
Yeah.
Catfish, they're supposed to eat up the filth off of the bottom of the lakes and the rivers and things.
Yeah.
If you get the buzzards around your place like they do Miss Dodd, then you likely lose cows to them.
Mm-hmm. But then take them away. Take them way off.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we buried our calf. We buried that calf yesterday, and we carried it over to the other place, and we buried it.
Yeah. Well, someone come along and dig it up.
More than likely. More than likely they will.
Unless you put it deep.
Well, Marvin, he put it pretty deep, but then something might come along.
Well, a foot would be deep for me. It wouldn't be deep for anything that was hungry.
You going to the Easter egg hunt?
If it just depends on who's going. That's what I asked you. Yes, I'd like to go over there with them there. And you all going?
Uh-uh.
Why don't you go?
Because I haven't been asked.
Well, y'all talked about it on the phone.
Yeah, but I know. But I wasn't asked. I ain't going. I might take off and go to Cross City.
Well, you don't have to be asked. I'll ask you. She called up over here and asked me, asked Faith. I say, all right, I'll pick up Miss Mary and
no, you know, dear, because I ain't going. She didn't ask me.
She probably thinks she doesn't even need to ask. You just tell about it and you just know she wants it.
And but the only people from around there that you know is going is Miss Bucknight.
Faye. What is her name? Faye?
I don't know.
Sure. And her kids.
I wish they'd ask, you know, George, not George, the other one.
George Fairbanks?
Yeah. No, both night. George's brother.
John Henry?
John Henry. I wish they would ask John Henry. Oh, I wish they would ask John Henry. He's not in that crowd, I know. But now, we was up there one time and bought some catfish. And he wrapped them up. And he was, I'm telling you, he was just quick as he could be. You hadn't seen him in some time. And he barefooted.
Mm-hmm.
And just had on them old jeans. That's the way they ought to go to the picnic, you know. Just like the fellas at home. John Henry.
They all ought to look like I did in the picture, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yes, but I never got one.
You tell him that you've got to have one of them.
Did he bring that box to you?
No. He sure didn't.
Well, I know we came by one day, and I saw him out next week, said he was going over to try to show it to you. But I guess he didn't. No, he didn't have it with him that time. That's right.
It's a good picture.
He was.
I know it was.
Fishing hat.
It was a good picture.
Somebody come over there one day by themselves. I can't think of it, but it wasn't the one that took the pictures. Did you send somebody over there to look at Mr. Guthrie's picture?
I don't remember. I keep forgetting. I was going to look at one or two of them letters. What letters was that you were going to show me?
Oh, that was a letter that I got from my girlfriend in Georgia.
Yes. And there was two letters.
Oh, you're talking about the one that I got from Mr. Jackson?
Yes. Yes. And something always comes up my mind.
Yeah.
Either I forget it or she forgets it.
Mm-hmm.
She got some letters. And you see, they're nice letters, I judge from what she says. And the thing of it is, see, they could lose them. And you see, Suzanne, you take them up there and get your Xerox it, you know, make a copy of it. And then put it in a different place.
It's just a letter that I got from Mr. Jackson.
You give it to Suzanne, let her Xerox it for you when she's over there.
He used to live down at, on
you
that
all
old...
You going back over there?
Yeah, we
got to
yes.
Old log house. You know that old log
mm-hmm.
house?
Yeah.
Where he used to live there.
Yeah.
And he left here and went and stayed with Andrew Jackson, his son. And he was despondent, and he wrote me a letter. And that's the last letter I ever got from him. That's been years ago.
Years ago. Well, that's it. It's a nice old letter, you see. And I wished I could take pictures. I'd like to have a copy of that one. A Mr. Guthrie. Nice picture, the one that
the
they
one
had copied and colored, you know.
The one on the TV?
Yeah. I wouldn't care about the colors much. I'd love to have it.
This fella that come to the house told me he'd blow up James's picture for me.
Yeah.
But he never did come by.
That's the same one took the pictures? I mean, the one of you?
I think so.
Yeah.
I found that people who take pictures are wholly unreliable. There's no truth in them. And once they snap it, that has nothing to do with getting the picture. The only way is, if they make a living, you know, they can't collect till they give it to you.
Do you know Mr. Zetrar?
No.
Let's see, what do you see? Horace?
Horace lives up here at Rochelle.
No. No, he don't live in Rochelle, he lives in Gainesville.
When I'm dying.
Mm-hmm. But this one is president, I think, of the First Federal Bank in Gainesville or something. I don't know, loan association or something.
Yeah, I borrowed money there. I borrowed money from him to pay for this place.
You did? Yes. Well, what's his name? His name's Horace. No?
I thought it was Horace. Or, I don't know. The one out there, lives out there in the woods there.
This one lives in Gainesville.
Yeah.
He called me up, wanted me to come out to the cemetery and haul some leaves. We went out this Saturday afternoon to haul some. He said Louise had been out there, her and her husband, and I had hauled some.
Now, the one that lives out there at Rochelle, he's hard of
hearing.
Now,
that's Bert.
That's Bert. But he's hard of hearing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the one that lived a pretty rough life and got hurt. The horse ran over him, pulled off with him or something. What happened again?
I think you must be talking about, Theo's daddy.
Yeah, Theo's daddy.
Well, he's dead.
Who is he?
Uh-huh, he's been dead about 2 months.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm. And I heard he was buried in the Feaster Cemetery. Where is the Feaster Cemetery?
Out at Feasterville, I guess. Where would it be?
I don't know.
Out there at, Who is it?
Must be. Must be out there.
She's the Feaster headquarters, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She got the records of the Feaster family. I tried to get her to tell me about them, but she never did. She had too much on. It's too much at that time. Well, she had this grand old opera on. Out there at Johnson Schoolhouse, west of, is that the name of it? Out west of Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm.
They put on a big one out there, you know. And I know the Cookies children sang in it.
They did?
Yes. Well, they just open their mouths clear open when they sing.
Well, listen, isn't he home?
Cookie?
Uh-huh. Well, I saw somebody. There was one of you in this week, and I said, Marvin, that was Cook, weren't it? Had a brand new truck, and had a bunch of girls in the back of the truck, and if that weren't Cookie, I don't know who it could have been. It looked just like him.
Well, he's half dead. Down there in the tuberculosis sanitarium. Be there.
He is.
Yes. One long lung gone, not much left of the other. You know what he's doing when he left here?
Mm-mm.
He's smoking another one of them cigars. He's going to smoke them right up till he got in the sanitarium.
And you ain't never take them away from him?
Yeah, they'll give him shots and smoke his sleep. He might just steal one, but he'll be fighting back down there. I don't think they get out, do they, in the cemetery?
As bad as he is, I bet they don't let him for a long time.
He was so bad, the doctor found out about it on Friday and wanted to send him. He couldn't get him down there until Monday. Cooey had a blowout Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Put him down there Monday morning.
Who had a blowout?
Cooey did.
His last blink.
Well, does she still work at that the fever mining place?
Well, they got to. They got no choice. She don't have two regulars.
But yet she won't get some kind of a pension from him?
You mean since he's in the sanitarium?
Mm-hmm. Draw Social Security or something?
Well, the state's paying his way down there.
Well,
now, if you were to get sick, I don't think they'd pay your way. You
heck no.
Too well to do them.
No, sir, they wouldn't pay my way.
See the difference.
Mm-hmm.
They've been poor and well to do.
Well, Blue Cross and Blue Shield would take care of me.
Uh-huh. They wouldn't take care of you for 6 months.
No. Mm-mm.
And give you 3 meals a day and
tranquilizers. I ain't gonna get sick and be sick for 6 months.
Well, you was worse than that. You were sick for longer than that.
Yeah, but I didn't have to stay in the hospital that long.
If it hadn't been for Dr. Gibney, you'd be there now, I bet you.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Where you're going. Oh, she had a time. She couldn't get over one thing, so she got something else, did she?
Oh, wow. What all did you have? I forgot.
Didn't have a thing in the world but the shingles, he said. And an arthritis flare-up.
Yes.
But everybody else thought, Lord, I hate to think what they have.
Oh, yes.
They didn't know. Dr. Daly sent me to two specialists in Gainesville. Dr. Cox was the last one. And he charged me $40 for just looking at it.